I'm Maria Dudzak, and in town at this time is George Donnert, who is with the Citizens Climate Education, and he is touring the state, giving information about ocean warming, ocean acidification, and potential threats to fisheries, along with other information. Thank you so much for joining me, and you have been, am I correct, touring the state?
Yeah, actually, we started out a few weeks ago, actually almost a month ago, down in Kodiak, and then we've been going up through the Kenai Peninsula and into Anchorage and the Matsu and eventually on up to Fairbanks. And after taking a week or so off, I'm in Southeast. I went to the UFA convent or board meeting in Juneau, and then was over in Sitka until I took off for Petersburg, and I've been giving presentations and talking to people and fishermen along the way. And we were supposed to have a meeting last night, but the plane was a couple hours late. So between that and the ferry and all those things, we had to cancel. But it's great to be in Ketchikan, and it's been many, many, many years since I've been here. So it's good to see it again.
Is it possible you will schedule something else?
I'm scheduled, unknown at this time. I'm scheduled to go to our regional conference in Seattle, so Friday evening. So I don't know if we're going to be able to schedule something else, but it probably give me a chance to see if I can get in contact with fishing groups here in town.
And what is Citizens Climate Education?
Well, Citizens Climate Education is a is a group that is that and Citizens Climate Lobby, which is how we usually refer to us. It's Citizens Climate Education is the 501c3 part of Citizens Climate Lobby, which is a 501c4, which means that we can lobby that part of us. Basically, the reason we call it Citizens Climate Lobby is because we're citizen lobbyists. We go to Washington, D.C. to talk to our members of Congress about solutions to climate change.
And what messages, I guess, have you been delivering in each of these communities?
Well, I talk about the risks of climate change and ocean acidification and things like ocean warming and sea level rise. But I also talk about solutions, too, because if you just talk about how bad climate change is, a lot of people just don't want to listen. And it's understandable. I mean, it just seems really horrible if we don't have a solution. But there are solutions out there, and we think that the most economical and most efficient and fairest solution is what we call a carbon fee and dividend, which basically charges for pollution and returns the money back to American households.
And there are people who argue that climate change is natural, that there isn't anything we could do, and this is just going to happen. What do you say to those people?
The climate does change all the time. It just doesn't change as rapidly as it is today. And, you know, the physics, you know, you can do a basic physics, experiment in the lab that shows that if you increase the amount of carbon dioxide in the air, it holds more heat. As a matter of fact, we've got, all kinds of data that shows that carbon dioxide levels over the last 100,000 years have never been anywhere near as high as they are today. And every time carbon dioxide levels go up, the world global temperatures go up, and we can see that through tree ring studies and all those kinds of things. And sure, I mean, there's a lot there's a lot of cherry picking going on as far as trying to find some other magical cause of this. But, the scientists that are studying the effects of the sun and the changes in the sun say that we should be going into an ice age right now, but except for all the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Yeah, so in some ways it's been good because we're not going into an ice age, but it's really bad in the sense that we're going in the other direction just at an increasing rate.
And you're talking about fining people, I guess, in a sense, for emissions. How would that work? Is it like, are you seeking to have something internationally? I mean, it's a big planet and lots of pollution.
Yeah. No, certainly the Paris Agreement was really important that way, in the sense that it connected all the nations in the world on a quest to get off of fossil fuels and reduce our greenhouse gas emissions so that we can keep the temperature of the Earth from changing by more than 2 degrees. So basically what our proposal is that to put a price, an additional price, on all the fossil fuels at the mine, the wellhead, or the port of entry. So, and then that price would start out low because you don't want to just, you know, kind of do shock therapy or something to the economy. But then it would rise steadily. And because it's rising steadily, you'd be able to plan for that increase in price. And that planning might include things like becoming more efficient or switching over from one kind of fuel to another. Families can do that. Businesses will do that. Governments will do that. So that price is kind of, that's the, we say that it's forgetting my terms here. It charges for what's called the externality of the damages that are caused by burning fossil fuels. I mean, when the message from Paris was, we want to get off of fossil fuels. We don't like fossil fuels. We like what they do for us, but that we don't like what it does to us. So let's figure out some way to switch over from fossil fuels to low-carbon energy systems. So anyway, the fee basically is putting the price on fossil fuels, on a steadily rising price. The second part of our proposal is the dividend, which returns all the revenue that is raised back to American households, very similar to the permanent fund dividend. As a matter of fact, it was inspired by the permanent fund dividend. It'd be a little bit different in the sense that it would be paid on a monthly basis rather than an annual basis. That's the fee and the dividend part. And the third part basically keeps us from exporting our pollution or our jobs to other countries, and that's called the border carbon adjustment. And what it does, this is kind of the most complex part of everything, but what it does is it keeps it creates a climate club. And if you're in the climate club, it means that your country is taking steps to reduce carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions. And if you're doing that, for instance, if you're putting a price on carbon in your own country, then you can trade straight across with the United States. If you're not in the climate club, then you have to pay an extra fee or tariff when you export to the United States, and vice versa when American companies export to those countries that aren't in the climate club. They would also get a rebate so that they aren't disadvantaged. So that does a couple of things besides not exporting our pollution and our jobs. And also, it motivates other countries to get into the climate club because the United States is the greatest trading country in the world. There's a lot of motivation for other countries to want to trade straight across like they do today.
Given that, well, Alaska and many other states are very much fossil fuel dependent in a sense, that's where a lot of their economy comes from. How much support are you getting for these proposals?
Well, you know, Alaska's a funny place because not only are we dependent on it for a big chunk of our state economy, especially the state government, but also, you know, jobs on the slope. But at the same time, we have for instance, with fishing, we have industries that are greatly affected by climate change. And, you know, the amount of assets held by Alaska fishermen is considerable. And, you know, it's a big chunk of income in and the economy in many coastal communities. I'm a commercial fisherman myself, and I've seen a lot of changes in the 25 years I've been doing that, just, you know, where I'm fishing out on the lower Yukon. We're in a funny place that way. But I see more and more a real concern in this state that action needs to be taken. I mean, Alaska is really on the forefront of climate change in the sense that the North Slope has warmed faster than any other place in the United States. And we're having a lot of problems with the permafrost melting and, you know, housing beginning to be compromised by that and other infrastructure. Certainly the communities out in western Alaska that are in danger of washing into the ocean, that's a huge concern too. And, you know, let's face it, the pink salmon failure this year was huge in Prince William Sound and Cook Inlet and Kodiak, where the catch was down 85%. That's a collapse of the fishery, and that's due to the blob, and the blob is due to climate change. We know that's an extreme effect from that we're seeing from climate change.
Okay, and the blob is a warm.
It's a big
mass in the ocean.
Yeah, it's a big chunk of warm water out in the Gulf of Alaska that has now pretty much migrated up into the Bering Sea. So we're not really sure what kind of effects that's going to have up in the Bering Sea. And I'm very concerned because that's where our fish, our salmon, hang out, you know, before they swim back up into their natal streams.
Okay, we're running out of time. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Boy, you know, one of the things people say is, well, what about this administration? You know, things don't look very good. They seem to be really worrisome as far as our, going forward with climate change legislation. But there have been three things that have been really hopeful on the Republican side. There's the Gibson resolution, which basically says climate change is real, humans are causing part of it, and Congress needs to do something about it. There were 20 Republicans who signed on to that resolution. The Bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus, which was started by a Republican and a Democrat from Southern Florida, where they are also on the forefront of climate change and sea level rise primarily. And that has been joined now by 24 members of the House of Representatives, half of them Democrats, half of them Republicans. And then just a couple of weeks ago, some very senior Republican economists who've been secretaries of Treasury, secretaries of state, head of the Fed, that kind of thing, came out with a very tangible and credible climate solution proposal. So I think that, you know, most people think, oh, the Democrats are for action, Republicans are against. But honestly, I think that we're seeing a lot of concern on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, that I think that's a lot of reason for hope.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
George Donnert, and he is with the Citizens Climate Education.